Imagine for a second, just, picture this. You have a brilliant world-class assistant.
Like the absolute best.
Right, exactly. This person can solve complex logic puzzles. They draft just impeccable emails, write brilliant code, and they can even summarize entire books in like 2 seconds.
Sounds pretty ideal.
It does, right. But, and this is a massive catch. This assistant, unfortunately, suffers from severe amnesia.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So every single time you sit down to talk to them, you have to spend, I don't know, 20 minutes just explaining who you are, what you care about, what you did yesterday, your career goals.
Just to get a basic answer.
Exactly. You have to explain why you are even asking the question in the first place. So you're getting genius-level advice, sure, but the friction of getting there is completely exhausting. You spend more time bringing them up to speed than you do, actually working on the problem.
And that right there is, it's the ultimate paradox of modern technology. It's sitting right there in that exact dynamic.
It really is.
Because we currently have these incredibly capable artificial reasoning engines. They know virtually everything about the world, like the sum total of human knowledge,
Right.
but they know absolutely nothing about the person sitting in front of the screen. So the machine is brilliant, but the relationship is just stuck on Groundhog Day.
And that frustration, that Groundhog Day feeling, is really the launch pad for our mission on this deep dive. Because today we are exploring a massive paradigm shift in how we interact with artificial intelligence.
A totally different approach.
Exactly. We are looking at a move from an AI that just knows the world to an AI that actually knows you.
Which is a huge leap.
It's massive. And to do this, we're pulling from a really fascinating journalistic profile, plus some under-the-radar website materials. They detail a project called iAI.
Right, IAI.
Yeah. And as of July 2026, it's an Android MVP built by a solo founder named Hanza Zicha. And this project, well, it's attempting to solve this exact amnesia problem, to bridge that gap between universal intelligence and, personal context.
And the ambition here is just fascinating, especially when you look at the core philosophy that's guiding the entire endeavor.
Yeah, the sources had that one specific quote.
Yes, the source material features a quote that really serves as their true north. It says, "The model speaks. IAI remembers. The user owns the memory." Right. That single sentence represents a total inversion of how tech companies currently build, and honestly, how they deploy artificial intelligence.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because right now, our digital lives are completely shattered into these isolated little
Ah,
pieces.
entirely siloed.
I mean, think about your own phone. You've got a fitness tracker on your wrist that knows you only slept 4 hours.
Right.
Then you've got a journaling app that holds, paragraphs about how you were incredibly stressed about a massive presentation at work.
And then a totally different app for something else.
Exactly. You've got a separate chatbot app where you're asking for advice on how to structure a slide deck. And none of these things talk to each other.
No, they don't.
They just see these fragmented, tiny slices of your day, and they operate in total silos.
Right, so the smartwatch sees the lack of sleep purely as like a bad biological metric. It's just a red ring that you failed to close.
Yeah, just a failure.
And the journal sees the stress simply as text stored on a server. The chatbot just sees a localized, sterile prompt about a presentation. But IAI attempts to connect these dots.
To bring it all together.
Exactly. What you say, write, feel, and do so. The AI doesn't start from zero every single time you interact with it, because building a holistic understanding of a human life requires stitching those fragments together into actual context.
The sources give some really striking scenarios of how this actually plays out in the real world. And I want to dive into the situation with a user named Elena.
Oh, yeah, Elena's story is a great example.
Right. So the materials describe Elena as someone who has been absolutely crushing her fitness goals. She completed 3 strength training sessions a week for 6 straight weeks, like a flawless streak.
Which is hard to do.
It really is. But then life happens. She completely falls off the wagon and misses 2 sessions. So she goes into the app and expresses this deep disappointment, feeling like she's, ruined her momentum and lost all her progress.
And just consider how a standard fitness tracker handles that exact moment of vulnerability. I mean, it operates on a binary of success or failure.
Usually with some annoying notification.
Right. It sends a notification about a broken streak, perhaps accompanied by a red icon, essentially gamifying her failure.
Which feels terrible.
It does. And a standard generative AI might swing to the other extreme, right? Offering this hollow, toxic positivity kind of thing.
Oh, like, you can do it. Hustle harder.
Exactly. It might spit out something like, don't give up. Get back in the gym today. You can do it.
And both of those responses feel awful, honestly, because they lack basic human context. But IAI pulls from her recent journal entries and natural conversations.
Which changes everything.
It really does. It registers that this specific week, Elena was at the hospital sitting with her sick mother. She had an urgent work deadline piling up, and she barely slept.
Right, the real-world factors.
So instead of a generic cheerleading prompt, the AI responds with actual lived continuity. It reminds her not to let one chaotic week erase the 6 weeks of hard work she already banked.
It gives her grace.
Yes. It points out that missing two sessions doesn't mean she lost progress. It means her life demanded something else from her in that moment. And then, rather than pushing a heavy deadlift session, it suggests maybe just a gentle 20-minute walk over the weekend, or even, you know, a full week of guilt-free recovery.
And that's where the technology shifts from a tool of measurement to a tool of understanding.
Yeah.
Because, well, empathy is very easy for a large language model to fake in its tone.
Sure, you just tell it to be nice.
Exactly. Anyone can prompt a model to sound nice. But actual context, knowing the gritty, real details of a person's life and adjusting the advice accordingly, that cannot be faked.
No, it can't.
There is another scenario in the profile involving a user named Daniel that highlights this perfectly, I think. Daniel goes on a 12-kilometer hike. A standard fitness app just sees the GPS data, calculates the distance, and throws digital confetti.
Congratulations on the 12K.
Exactly.
But meanwhile, IAI knows from a previous conversation that today is the exact anniversary of Daniel's brother's passing.
Which is heavy.
It is. Daniel had mentioned in a journal entry that the quiet of a long hike made it easier to remember his brother without feeling entirely overwhelmed by the grief.
Right.
So IAI doesn't just celebrate the distance like a mindless pedometer. It asks him a really profound question. It asks, did the walk give you space today, or are you simply tired now?
And that response fundamentally alters the dynamic between human and machine.
Completely.
The AI isn't just processing a physical activity. It is acknowledging a psychological state, weaving past trauma and present action into a cohesive conversation.
Okay, but wait. I need to push back on this a little bit.
Okay, go for it.
Because listening to this, on one hand, having a digital companion that understands my grief, my mother's health, and my sleep schedule sounds incredibly useful, deeply supportive, even.
Right.
But on the other hand, it sounds like an absolute privacy nightmare. I mean, I am essentially feeding my entire soul, my deepest vulnerabilities, into a giant tech company's servers, just to be analyzed and eventually served back to me as a hyper-targeted ad for, I don't know, therapy or sleep medication.
And that is a completely valid fear. In fact, the founder anticipated this exact reaction. It is the entire reason the architecture of IAI is built differently than almost anything else on the market.
No, really?
Yes. Because if this were built the traditional Silicon Valley way, your fears would be entirely justified. Your life would be ingested into some corporate cloud.
Which is what we're all used to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But IAI introduces a structural breakthrough that fundamentally rewires that power dynamic. IAI is actually not the AI model itself.
Wait, it's not the model?
No. It is not a competitor to the massive language models churning out answers in those giant server farms.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it acts as a personal memory layer that sits locally on your physical device, securely wedged between you and whatever AI model you actually choose to use.
Oh, okay. So if I'm understanding this mechanism correctly, it's a bit like a really good defense attorney.
I like that analogy. How so?
Well, let's say I have a massive diary detailing my entire life. I don't hand the entire diary over to the judge and jury in the courtroom.
No, that would be insane.
Right. My attorney reads it, keeps it locked in a briefcase, and only pulls out the one specific paragraph that is relevant to the trial today. The rest of my life stays secret.
That captures the mechanics beautifully. So when you ask a question, IAI does not bundle your entire life profile,
yeah,
either your grief, your health data, your 5 years of journals, and upload it to the cloud.
Good.
Instead, it performs a local search right on your phone. It scans your encrypted memory for only the tiny, hyper-relevant pieces of information needed for that specific prompt. It creates what we can call a context packet.
A context packet.
Yes. And it sends just that compact, highly curated packet to the reasoning engine, gets the answer, and brings it back.
So if I ask the AI why I feel so sluggish this morning, the local layer might package up the fact that my smartwatch logged poor sleep, and maybe that I mentioned eating a heavy dinner at 10 p.m.
Exactly.
It sends that tiny packet to the cloud. but it completely ignores the journal entry about my family drama from 3 years ago because the reasoning engine does not need to know about my family trauma to tell me about my circadian rhythm.
Spot on.
Yeah.
And the source material refers to this mechanism as sending context over noise.
I like that. Context over noise.
Right. The external model gets the moment, but you keep the memory. And the system even offers a choice between what they call online thinking and local thinking.
Oh, so you don't even have to use the cloud.
Exactly. If you are writing a deeply sensitive reflection and want maximum privacy, you can route the context packet to a smaller local AI model running directly on your phone hardware. Nothing ever leaves the device.
Wow, okay.
But if you are trying to solve a complex coding problem or need heavy-duty reasoning, you can route it to an online model. But again, only exposing that tiny filtered context packet.
Honestly, this mechanism creates a massive aha moment for anyone who is just tired of the tech monopoly rat race.
Absolutely.
It's model independence. Because the AI industry is moving at light speed, right? The absolute best reasoning model today might be a total dinosaur in 6 months.
Oh, without a doubt.
So under this new architecture, the AI model can change. You can swap it out whenever a better one launches. But your memories don't have to move. You aren't held hostage by whatever tech giant happens to make the smartest language model this year.
Right. Your data isn't trapped.
Exactly. Your history, your context, your lived experience, it all remains firmly anchored on your device. You can upgrade the brain, but you keep your soul.
And that philosophy of not holding users hostage isn't just, like, a corporate mandate. It stems directly from the life experiences of the founder.
Right. Hanza Zicha.
Yes. He's a Czech British product analyst, and his trajectory heavily informs the DNA of this project. He arrived in the UK with just 50 pounds in his pocket, put himself through university, and spent years managing massive online projects.
The sources mention one specific project, Opusia, I think.
Yes, Opusia. Crucially, he took over and rebuilt that platform, growing it into an online writing community of over 60,000 people.
And running Opusia wasn't just about managing servers and load times, right? He was managing a space where tens of thousands of people were entrusting a digital platform with their most intimate creations.
Their poems, their stories.
Yeah, their hopes, their fears. When you hold that kind of emotional data, you learn very quickly that technology isn't just code. It is an extension of human vulnerability.
It absolutely is.
It has to be built with patience, respect, and a profound sense of responsibility to the people using it.
And that responsibility led to a defining epiphany during the development of IAI. The journalistic profile details this moment, where Hanza was performing a completely routine developer task. He needed to clear out some test data from the IAI app to reset the environment.
Which is pretty standard, right?
Now, developers do this constantly. It's usually as mindless as emptying a digital trash can on your desktop. But when he hit the delete button this time, the emotional impact really caught him off guard.
Because he realized he wasn't just erasing random strings of test code or, like, placeholder text.
Right.
Because he had been dogfooding his own app, using it in his daily life. He was deleting his actual authentic thoughts. He was wiping out his daily patterns, his personal reflections, literally a chunk of his recent history.
Yeah, the profile describes the moment as feeling unexpectedly bittersweet. Because it wasn't just data, it was a digital reflection of his mind.
And that bittersweet feeling cemented a core tenet of IAI, right? That software that remembers a life ceases to be just cache data. It transforms into a digital history. And deleting that history shouldn't be a casual technical action buried four layers deep in a convoluted settings menu.
Right, menus designed to trick you into keeping your data on the server.
Yes, the user must have absolute transparent control. If you decide to delete a journal entry or disconnect a fitness tracker, that data must genuinely disappear from existence. It cannot quietly survive forever in some invisible cloud profile, lingering in the background to shape your targeted ads.
And treating user data with that level of dignity naturally extends to how the AI actually speaks to the user.
Oh, this part was fascinating.
Yeah, the sources note that Hanza was deeply influenced by his late mother, particularly her distinct brand of kindness. She had an instinct to genuinely care for people, which meant being an honest friend, not a sycophant. And he wanted IAI to reflect those exact values.
Which is so different from what we're used to. I mean, if you look at the broader landscape of consumer technology, algorithms are typically designed to flatter you.
Oh, always.
They are built to keep you engaged, to agree with your outrage, or to feed you exactly what you want to hear so you never, ever close the app.
They want you hooked.
Right. But Hanza explicitly designed IAI to reject that dependency. Because an honest friend doesn't just nod along when you're making a mistake. Sometimes an honest friend needs to look at your data and tell you that you are exhausted, that grinding away at your keyboard for another 3 hours won't fix your work problem, and that you desperately need to close the laptop and go to sleep.
There is a very sharp, crucial boundary drawn around that honesty, though. The founder and the source materials emphasize this heavily. IAI is designed to be an honest friend, but it is explicitly not a doctor.
Right, that's a big distinction.
And it is absolutely not a therapist. The distinction between spotting a pattern and making a diagnosis is vital for the safety of personal AI.
So how does it handle that line?
Well, let's say the app's memory layer notices you have recorded low morning energy for 3 consecutive days. And it also sees from your health data that on all 3 nights, you ate a heavy dinner after 9 p.m. It will point out the correlation. It will surface the pattern and ask, this late eating and early fatigue has happened 3 times. Does it feel connected to you?
Got it. So it puts the observation on the table, but it leaves the conclusion completely up to you.
Exactly.
It doesn't say your late dinners are causing your fatigue. You have a metabolic issue. It refuses to claim medical certainty just to sound authoritative.
Right. It stays in its lane.
It won't invent a psychological tragedy to explain a bad mood, and it won't pretend to be a medical professional. The user remains the ultimate authority on their own life. The AI is simply a mirror to help you reflect rather than, you know, a crystal ball dictating who you are.
And here is where the future application of this technology becomes incredibly compelling. Because right now, to get this kind of personalized interaction with an AI, having it actually know your sleep, your mood, your context, some power users are actually doing it manually.
Oh, I've seen people do this.
Right. But it requires being a dedicated prompt engineer. You have to open a chat window and painstakingly type out, act as my supportive friend. For context, I slept poorly last night, I ran 5 miles yesterday, and I'm currently stressed about my mom.
That sounds exhausting.
It is. You are forced to manually build the context packet from scratch every single time you open the app.
And that manual labor is the massive roadblock preventing personal AI from becoming ubiquitous for the average person. Nobody wants to spend their life typing status updates into a chat window just to get a good answer.
No one has time for that.
Exactly. And Hans's mantra for the future of IAI addresses this directly. He says, less tapping, less tracking. The goal is seamless, invisible integration with the tools you are already using to live your life.
The vision is really ambient intelligence. You don't build your AI, you simply live your life, and the AI learns quietly in the background.
Just observing.
Right. And the Android MVP is actively laying the groundwork for this by integrating with Android Health Connect, various smartwatches, and voice interfaces. If your smartwatch is already tracking your sleep cycles, and your running app is already tracking your miles, IAI just quietly observes those signals. Assuming, of course, you have given it explicit permission to do so.
So you completely eliminate the friction of logging your life twice. When you wake up, pour your coffee, and say good morning to the app, it doesn't need to ask how you slept.
No, it already knows.
It already factored in the data that you tossed and turned all night. It adjusts its morning greeting based on the physiological reality of your day before you even type a single word.
Just imagine walking home from the office and just talking out loud to your headphones about a frustrating meeting.
Okay.
The AI listens, understands the context of your long-term career goals from journal entries you wrote months ago, notices from your health data that your heart rate spiked during the meeting, and responds naturally, synthesizing all that information instantly. The interface disappears entirely, leaving only the interaction.
And making this kind of advanced ambient intelligence accessible to everyone is a huge priority for the project. The sources point out that Hansa drew heavy inspiration from a speech British Prime Minister Tony Blair gave back in 2000.
Oh, right. The internet access speech.
Yeah. Blair was calling for universal internet access, arguing that the internet was too powerful of a tool to be restricted only to the rich. And Hansa views personal AI through that exact same lens. A private, capable personal intelligence shouldn't be a luxury good.
And he operates on a strict, free, and ethical mandate. Everyone deserves access to this memory layer, not just power users who can afford a hefty $20 monthly subscription.
Which is how most AI tools operate right now.
Exactly. But his business model reflects this mandate. There are no trial traps designed to lock you in. Furthermore, the architecture actually protects your data financially.
How so?
Well, say you decide to pay for a premium online reasoning model to get faster or more complex coding help.
Yeah, okay.
6 months later, money gets tight, and you have to cancel that subscription.
Right. And in the current tech ecosystem, canceling a subscription usually means losing your data or losing the features you rely on entirely.
It's a hostage situation.
It is. But with IAI, because the memory layer is entirely local, you do not lose your data. You do not lose the deep relationship and context the AI has built with you. You simply drop back to using the free local reasoning models, and your digital assistant remembers you just as well as it did yesterday. The relationship is never held hostage by your credit card.
So what does this all mean for you, the person listening right now? We are standing right on the precipice of a massive technological shift.
We really are.
The era of AI as a generic amnesiac encyclopedia living in a corporate cloud is ending. We are moving rapidly toward AI as a deeply personal, continuous presence in our daily lives. But the core lesson from this deep dive is clear. As this technology arrives, we have to demand that the personal memory layer, the context of our lives, remains local, private, and entirely owned by us.
Because a profound technological shift almost always triggers a massive psychological shift. When the tools change, the way we view ourselves changes. So what does this all mean for you?
I want to leave you with a thought to ponder on your own. If we are truly stepping into a future where we possess a flawless, private digital memory, an ambient intelligence that perfectly recalls the exact context of every mood, every meal, every heartbreak, and every conversation we have ever had, how is that going to change human nostalgia?
Oh, wow.
Because human memory is famously beautifully imperfect. We naturally gloss over our bad days. We romanticize our past struggles. We forget the mundane details that bored us. When our personal AI never forgets and can gently remind us of exactly how petty or exhausted we felt 3 years ago today, will we lose that uniquely human ability to rewrite our own history? Or will having a perfectly honest, perfectly continuous digital mirror force us to finally be completely honest with ourselves?
That is a staggering question. I mean, if the amnesiac assistant finally gets their memory back, we might discover that they remember us far better than we remember ourselves. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the future of personal AI. Keep questioning the world around you, and we'll catch you next time.